Here they are again, Harry and Thelma Duff, Gerald and Phyllis Loder, next door friends and neighbors.
La joie du monde, the flavor of France. Gauloise, the cigarette the French made famous. Now made in South Africa. Le goût de la Gauloise. So different. So French. Gauloise.
In today's economic climate, you've got to make use of every cent you have. That's why the Standard Bank attaches so much importance to being progressive, to constantly improving their range of services to meet your changing needs. Plus Plan Plus, for instance, a savings scheme offering a useful 8% on daily balance, the added benefits of a stop order facility and free statement. This is progressive banking the Standard's way, which is why we always say you can bank on the Standard.
Percy's been round here again.
No. It happened while I was walking down the high street. I took my whole week's housekeeping money with me this afternoon because I wanted to buy some bread and bangers and potatoes.
Blimey. How much housekeeping does Gerald give you?
Well, never mind about that now. Well, I stopped outside Honest Horace's auction room. Well, I just popped my head in. Well, I've never seen an auction before.
Well, go on. What happened?
Well, somebody jostled against me and one of my vital safekeepings came adrift. And I had to clutch onto my shoulder strap, otherwise there would have been an awful letdown.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me. With your arms flailing around, trying to save whatever there was to save, Honest Horace thought you were bidding for whatever it was he was knocking down, eh?
No, he didn't knock anything down. It was this man who jostled me.
No, I meant whatever it was he was auctioning.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, nobody bidding it after me, so I had to take it. And it cost me my whole week's housekeeping. Oh, but will Gerald say? No, but what am I going to do? Oh, £3.50.
All right, calm down, Phil. What did you get anyway?
Well, it's supposed to be a clock.
A clock? A second hand?
Oh, I didn't see one, no. It's only got one for the hours and one for the minutes. Oh, I'll see what you mean. Well, no, 14th hand is more like it. Looks terribly old and ugly. Oh, Gerald will kill me.
What sort of a clock is it, then?
Well, it's in the shape of a Buddha. And it has a clock face set into its... Well, set into its... stomach.
Oh, blimey.
And when he ticks, the eyes move from side to side. I don't know what it's made of, but it's very heavy.
Oh, that's all you need, Phil. Having a ticking Buddha sharing the mantelpiece with Gerald's stuffed eagle. Well, where is it now?
Well, they wheeled it home on the handcart for me, and I hid it in the lounge behind the sofa. I didn't know where else to put it.
Gerald will probably tell you.
So mad.
I mean, he'll probably tell you to throw it away. Oh, it's bad enough you and Gerald having packing case furniture without having a flaming fat Buddha on the mantelpiece chiming at you every half hour.
Well, I don't think it chimes anymore. Not since it fell off the handcart.
Fell off?
Yes, and when it did, it went boing.
It went what?
Boing. Well, it hasn't chimed since. The clock's still going, though.
Yeah, you'd better make sure it goes out of the door before Gerald hears it. Well, look, you'll have to flog it to someone else.
Oh, but Delmer, I can't if it doesn't chime.
Well, look, make sure Gerald doesn't see it tonight. Mm. Then tomorrow morning, you and I can take it down to that clock repair shop in the High Street. We'll ask them to make it start chiming again. Then, with any luck, you can flog it before Gerald finds out about it.
Oh, what a good idea. Oh, thanks ever so, Delmer.
No, don't mention it. I just wish there was something I could do right now.
Well, there is one thing.
What's that?
Well, I've got no housekeeping now. Until I manage to flog the clock. Could you please lend me some bangers, some bread and some potatoes for Gerald's supper tonight?
Well, I'll do better than that. Now, listen, you and Gerald come and have supper with Harry and me. That'll make it easier for you to keep Gerald from finding out about the clock too, eh? We'll keep him here as long as we can.
Oh, look. Here he comes up the street in our tandem now.
All right, calm down, Phil. Just brace yourself. Everything's going to be all right.
Thanks, Delmer. I did enjoy that. A man's hungry when he gets home from a hard day at the office.
How would you know? All you ever do is count paper clips, lick stamps, and ink all the stamp pads.
You're a fine one to talk, Harry Duff. At least Gerald has got a regular job.
Yes, well, I see absolutely no point in working myself to death just to keep myself alive.
So I notice.
I'll have you know, Harold, that my job is far more important than just doing things like that. Why, only this afternoon, the managing director, Mr. Sweeney, summoned me to his office and told me while I was there that Glovers needs more men like me, men of style and polish.
Ah, what do he want you to do? Shine his shoes?
Actually, it's my belief that he's grooming me for an important post.
And I think you're grooming him for nothing.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we? One of these days, we'll be living in a style for which I was destined.
Yes, well, I always thought you'd finish up in the workhouse, too.
Harry!
We shall be living on a higher plane altogether than most of the people in this neighbourhood.
Oh, blimey, I'll get him.
No. My wife won't have to behave like those women I saw today on my way home, pushing and shoving in a sale room. What's the matter, Phyllis?
Oh, nothing, dear. No, I was just stopping a sneeze.
Well, you want to watch that, you know. Yes, there they were, these women, scrambling for bargains. Oh, really, it was degrading, I can tell you. I'd be ashamed to see a wife of mine demeaning herself like that.
Oh!
What's the matter now, Phyllis?
Oh, nothing, Gerald. I bit my tongue, that's all.
Yes, well, you're entitled to bite something after Gerald's eaten your dinner besides his own.
I told you, Harry, I'm not hungry. You know how Gerald hates to see good food go to waste.
Yes, that's right, Phyllis. And at least good food doesn't go to my waste like it does to Harold's.
It goes straight to your head, though, doesn't it, eh? Now, what's your story, Phyllis, that you're not eating, I mean? I must say you're looking very pale and amoebic.
It's anemic, Harry.
Eh?
I said it's anemic.
Well, I mean, there you are then. Now, look, if she's got anemic, amoebic...
No, Harry. Never mind.
Oh.
Look, it's just that, Phyllis isn't feeling... I mean, she's feeling a little... she's out of sorts, that's all. And that's why I invited them both here this evening to save Phil the trouble of cooking Gerald's supper.
But I still don't understand why I wasn't allowed to go into the house when I got home. Why did you both bundle me in here as soon as I got off the tandem? Anybody would have thought there was something in there you didn't want me to see. Good heavens. There you go again. Now, what is the matter?
No, it's all right, Gerald. Phyllis is all right. It's just a little stabbing pain, isn't it, Phil?
Cool. Phyllis, yeah, you look even worse than you did when you came in. You were white enough then, but now you look as though you've just sneezed into the flour bin.
Oh, leave her alone, Harry. She'll be all right. She just doesn't feel so hot.
I can't understand why. I mean, she didn't have any of that dinner you
Darren!
All right, Phil, I was only kidding, girl.
I'd better get you home to bed, Phyllis. Harry's right. Now, you do look ghastly.
Oh, Gerald!
No. I didn't mean you look ugly. Not all the time. I just mean you don't look at all well. Now, come on. I think you'd better come straight home with me.
But Gerald, Phil's all right, really. You don't want to take her home yet. I mean, it's only 7:30.
Oh, let them go, Phil. Then I can have a look at my paper in peace.
But Harry, Phyllis doesn't want Gerald to... I mean, it's too early for them to... No, what I mean is...
Oh, it's all right, Thelma. I don't feel so good, really. I'll go to bed now, but on one condition, that Gerald comes too.
But there's nothing wrong with me. I'll just sit in the lounge and read my newspaper.
Oh,
no, you can't.
Why not? Anybody'd think that as soon as I got into the lounge, there'd be a huge explosion or something.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Hey? What?
I mean, I'm afraid I might need you, and you might not hear me calling in desperation.
Yes, that's right, Gerald. I think you should be upstairs with Phyllis in case she has a turn for the worse.
Oh, come off it, Phil. She's lost her appetite, and her complexion's gone from bad to worse, that's all. I mean, she doesn't need to go into the expensive care unit, does she?
It's not expensive care unit, Harry.
I know what it is. Have you forgotten I had to pay 800 nicker to that sanatorium just so you could get your voice back? Blimey. 800 nicker just for the privilege of being scrimped at again. If that's not expensive, I want to know what is.
Yeah, well, never mind Phyllis's ruddy complexion. Open the ruddy door for her and Gerald. And don't forget, Gerald, straight to bed.
Oh, well, all right then. Come along, Phyllis. Here, lean on my arm. But if you're not better in the morning, you go straight down to the doctor's and get him to give you a thorough checkup.
Gerald gone to work?
Oh, yes. He left 10 minutes ago on the tandem, complaining like anything about his sore back.
Sore back?
Yes. He lay doubled up under the blankets for an hour and a half last night with a torch, trying to read his paper.
Well, at least you kept him out of the lounge and away from the clock.
Poor Gerald. He looked as if he was in agony when he pedalled on.
So do you, usually, when you're on it behind him.
Oh, yes. But that's because I haven't got a saddle on my arm.
Well, how did you manage to keep Gerald out of the lounge this morning?
Oh, well, I told him I thought I heard a mouse in there. Gerald's frightened of mice.
Ah, I see. Oh. Well, are you ready to go out now? Because we'd better get that blinking clock down to the repair shop as soon as we can.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, it's too heavy to carry. Come and look at it, Phil. I dragged it out from behind the sofa.
What a perishing eyesore. you don't want anyone to see you walking around with that. Here, have you still got Dorothy's old pram in the attic?
Oh, yes, I have. Why?
Well, we'll use that to get this monstrosity to the repair shop. Now you just bung him into the pram and chuck an old blanket over him.
Oh, dear, but won't people think it's strange?
Well, please yourself. I mean, if you want to be seen lugging him down the high street, holding him under the armpits, somebody's bound to tell Gerald.
Oh, no. Well, all right, Thelma. Look, come and help me get the pram down from the attic.
Tonight, in the studio, Miss Greater Garbage.
Good evening.
Miss Garbage, you know Mazda have introduced the big luxurious rotary. This model is spelt L-U-C-E. How would you pronounce it?
Luki. Mazda Luki?
No, in fact, it's pronounced Luce.
Luce? It rhymes with I want to be alone, hey?
The new Mazda Luce. If you don't know the name, how are you going to know the car?
Thank you. Someday you own it. Someday you own. Sooner or later, you'll own generals.
Someday you own. Someday you own. Sooner or later, you'll own generals.
Someday you'll own General Tires.
This is the place, Selma. The clock clinic.
Ah, with a red cross on the door, too. Well, well, in we go. Your clock is about to be hospitalized.
Gosh, there must be hundreds of clocks in here. And what's that little sign on the counter?
Outpatients. Blimey. They must run this place like an hospital.
Oh, well, here comes the stretcher bearer. The shopkeeper now.
Ah, cuckoo. Cuckoo. Good morning, ladies. What can I do for you? Dong, dong.
Pull the blanket back, Phil. Now, you see, Mr.
No, Clapper, Clapper, Dr. Clapper. Well, I'm not really a doctor, but I regard all TikToks brought to my care as patients, you see. Ding, dong. Ailing clocks are my entire life, you see. I believe they have to be patiently repaired back to health. Now, what seems to be the matter with your clock, then, eh? Cuckoo!
This bloke's a nutter. What's with all the sound effects?
Oh, we'd probably get like that too if we were surrounded by hundreds of clockies. Clocks.
Ladies.
I'm Mrs. Loden. This is my sister, Mrs. Duff.
Ah, how do you do? But, ladies, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with your ticky-tocky, apart from an acute crossing of the pupils. Ding!
Well, you see, the thing is, Dr. Nutter...
Clapper! Dong!
Dr. Clapper. It's the main works are all right, but it won't chime and it goes cross-eyed.
Ah! Internal injuries, eh?
Yes. Well, I was wondering if you could fix it and then try and sell it for me.
Fix it? So that you can sell it? Oh, Mrs. Loder, how unfeeling, how hard-hearted. Don't abandon it like that. Dong, 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 dong. You'll be quite all right, I assure you. Once I've treated it, it's probably only got a screw loose.
You can talk. Look, Doctor, my sister doesn't want the clock, you see. She was tricked into buying it in an auction, and she wants to get rid of it because she needs the money.
But sell your child? It's not as if it were an orphan.
Well, it's not my child. I adopted it. It's not anybody's child. Well, it's just a clock. An ugly, non-charming, cross-eyed clock, and I never want to see it again.
Oh, cruel, cruel. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Oh, is it 3 o'clock already? My watch must have stopped. Oh, silly me.
Now, look, Dr. Clapper, will you fix my sister's clock or not? We can't stand here arguing all morning. There are better things to be done. It's true, I'm getting as mad as he is.
Very well, ladies, I'll do what I can. Now, just write your name and address on this card, Mrs. Loder, and I'll let you know when it's ready. Ding, dong, ding, dong. When I've sold it.
Oh, good. Right. There you are, Dr. Clapper. Oh, thank you so much. I'm really very grateful.
Not at all, Mrs. Loder, not at all. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. Dong. Mrs. Duck. Cuckoo!
You certainly are, mate. Oh, well, come on, Phil. You've had a rotten time since yesterday. Look, I'll treat you to a matinee at the Bijou after we've had lunch in town.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Thelma.
Yes, they say it's a super film. It's based on the life of Barbara Hutton and her 10 husbands. It's called The Specialist. Hey, well, goodbye, Dr. Clapper. Dong!
Phyllis! Oh, where is she? Oh, now wait a minute. Of course, perhaps she's still at the doctor's. I'll just have to fix my own lunch then. Oh, now, what does Harry want? Come in, Harry.
What's it, Jerry, mate? Mm. I saw you come home and I wondered why.
The new factory foreman calls strikes quicker than you used to.
Oh, yeah? What are they striking about this time?
Well, one of the girls in the typing pool caught her finger in the space bar of her machine. Hazardous working conditions, he calls it. And the whole factory's out until conditions are improved.
Yes, quite right, too. Yeah, I thought Thelma might be over here with Phyllis. Is she?
Well, neither of them are here. I told Phyllis she had to go and see the doctor today. She's probably still down at the surgery. But I wouldn't know where Thelma is.
Stone the blinging crows. Here it is, 1 o'clock, and me starving because I've had no breakfast.
No breakfast?
Well, I only got up an hour ago, didn't I?
You know, it beats me, Harold, why you don't go out and get a job like everyone else has. Oh, now, who can that be? It can't be Phyllis. She wouldn't stand out there knocking.
Princess Percy Snodgrass. Maybe he didn't see you come home.
Yes?
Cuckoo!
I beg your pardon.
Ah, you must be Mr. Loder. My name is Dr. Clapper. Look, I'm in a tearing hurry because I'm terribly busy all afternoon, but your wife came in to see me this morning about her Dickie Ticker.
Her Dickie Ticker? You mean that she... Oh, no!
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it's far worse than I thought. I made a thorough examination and have come to the conclusion that the only solution is a complete transplant.
Phyllis, a transplant?
I'm afraid so, yes. Yes, the whole lot will have to come out. I've never seen such a mess. At least I managed to get the eyes straightened out again.
Eyes? But there wasn't anything wrong with Phyllis's eyes.
Oh, you should have seen her. She was in a terrible state. Her sister had to keep calming her. But I'm telling you, that old ticker won't last another 24 hours. I have to move fast. Goodbye, Mr. Loder. Try not to worry too much. I must get back to the clinic. Dong, dong.
No, wait a minute. No, where is she now?
Oh, your sister-in-law said they were going to see the specialist. Sorry, Mr. Loder, I must go. I've so much to do. Cuckoo!
Who was that at the door, Jerry, mate?
Dr. Clapper.
Clapper? Clapper? That rings a bell.
This is no time for jokes, Harry. Phyllis went to see Dr. Clapper this morning with Thelma. He examined her and he says Phyllis has got heart trouble. She won't last 24 hours unless she has a transplant and she's at the specialist now. Oh, Harry, what am I going to do?
Well, stone the crows. I mean, she looked terrible last night, even worse than usual.
Harry, please.
No, sorry, Jerry, mate. No offence meant, but no, I can't believe it.
You would if you'd heard what the doctor said. He had a pretty peculiar speech impediment. But there was no mistaking what he had to say. Oh, this is terrible. I feel faint.
All right, I'll see who it is. You sit down before you fall down, mate.
Hello, Philly. Oh, Harry, what are you doing visiting Phyllis at this time of the day?
Yes, never mind me. What about you, eh? I might ask you the same thing, Percy. And stop trying to hide those flowers from behind your back. Oh. Here. Come on.
Who is it, Harry? Oh, it's you, Percy.
Gerald, what are you doing at home? Here, I brought you some flowers.
Flowers? That's all I need. Oh, come in, Percy, and you can cry with me.
Cry? Oh, yes, I'm very good at that. But what for? What's going on, Harry?
Prepare yourself for an horrible shock, Percy. You and Gerald are both about to be widowed.
Eh? What's he talking about, Gerald?
The doctor told me Phyllis's heart won't last another day.
You mean she's gonna... Yeah! Phyllis! My poor little Phyllis! Gone and never called me
go.
Oh, knock it off, Percy. She hasn't gone yet. Now, come on, turn it off. Have some respect for the dear departed. Oh, blimey, no. What am I saying?
Harry, what am I going to do?
Hello, little home. Oh,
hello, Kel.
Hello, Percy.
Goodbye, Phyllis.
Phyllis, come and sit down over here, Phyllis. Now, don't tax your strength. Dr. Clapper told me all about your heart, dear. He was here 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, we knew he was here. We'd just seen him in the street, and he told us he knew all about it. The heart?
Gerald, he's only a clock repairer, not a real doctor.
Wait, hang on. There's been a misunderstanding here. You'd better explain everything first.
Eh? What misunderstanding?
What's going on here? What's it all about?
Well, it's rather a long story, but here goes. You see, yesterday afternoon...
And when he said he was a doctor and started talking about Phyllis's dicky ticker... So there's nothing wrong with you after all, Phyllis. Oh, what a relief.
Oh, it's nice to know it is. Oh, it's a fright.
You mean you're not cross about the housekeeping, Gerald?
No, of course not. Oh, Phyllis, I'm too relieved after a shock like that.
Oh, good, because Dr. Clapper said that the clock was beyond repair, so I've taken his offer of a trade-in.
A trade-in?
Yes. He said that seeing as Phyllis seems to be accident-prone when it comes to clocks, he'd swap the Buddha for one guaranteed never to break down. And it's going to be delivered this afternoon.
So what's he going to give you in its place then, Phyllis?
A sundial.
Sundial? I don't want no sundial.
If you got a lot of action going, you're working hard, you're playing hard, or both, things are bound to get uptight. Well, that's the time, man, to relax with a Lexington. For after-action satisfaction with some honest-to-goodness tobacco flavor. Lexington. Believe me, there's a smoker's kind of smoke or a man's kind of man. Lexington. That's the one.
And here comes Fantione into the street. He's stopping at the television cameras. What's he doing? He's waving.
Oh, it's a wonderful, this Phillips television color. My boy waving just for his mama. He looks so real. Oh, now he's smiling. Oh, this Phillips TV must be the most natural color in the world.
If Fantione delays 3 more seconds, he'll lose this race. And there he goes.
Phillips bring you the world of natural color.
That was Ding Dong Buddha with Jim Williams, Bella Mariani, Gillian Lomberg, David Horner, and Frank Graham. The script was written by Frank Graham, adapted by Tom Meehan, and produced by Brian Squires. Join Springbok Radio next Monday at 9:30 for another look over the garden fence at our friends and neighbors.
On the rocks with tonic, it's a skyball. With ginger beer, it's a mule. With orange juice, it's a screwdriver. Whatever your mixer, whatever your mood, you get the clean, pure pleasure of Smirnoff Vodka.
Because Smirnoff Vodka lets you be yourself night and lively and crystal clear. Smirnoff, eat your bread, wine.